Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, welcome to the Dr. Tanji Show, a show that was created on Kingdom Principles, a show that was designed with you in mind to motivate and to inspire and to tell you to, hey, come on, and move you from where you are to where you want to be. A show that really, I don't want to use it as a labor of love, but it's a labor of love. And it allows people that are doing great things in the marketplace to stop by and say, hey, and we'll ask that proverbial question, how did you get here? And they'll give us those nuggets. And believe it or not, those nuggets oftentimes will outline exactly what we are all about, which is making you great. Now, I did a topic, a principle on Monday on the Talk to Tanji Show, and it was based on behavior and belief. And I want to just expound upon one of the keys that goes along with that principle, but let's do a couple of recaps here. Now, your behavior is a direct indication of what you believe. When you believe that you will excel in a particular task, then you will do everything you can possibly do to move you toward that desired result, that belief. However, should you start off by doubting and saying, if I do, then chances are you probably will not have a desired outcome that you want it to. That principle has five keys that I've been able to identify, and they're paramount with this principle, but I want you to just kind of glean and pay close attention to these keys and just kind of see if you can identify. Maybe you're using these in your own life. Number one, know that you have everything needed to get the outcome you desire. So you're going to put your knowing into effect. Two, have an unmovable faith. And faith is so important when you are wanting to have the desired results. Three, do all that you can to move towards your desired result. So not only do you have to know it, not only do you have to have an immovable faith, but you got to know, you got to do something to get the results that you desire. Four, be who you say you are. And that's the key that I really want to kind of emphasize today. Be who you say you are. And then number five, trust God in the process. Now, be who you say you are. This is so vital in a world that is oftentimes obscure and dark. And we need those who have decided that, you know what, I'm going to bring forth good fruit. Now, there's a passage in one of my favorite books, the Bible, that says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves, right? And it goes on a little further to talk about bringing forth good fruit. Now, all of us have the ability to be good. We do. We have the ability to do good. And doing good sometimes, even when no one's watching, and especially when no one's watching, is paramount. Be that person who is known for being kind and being compassionate and being patient and being wise and being trustworthy. By that, of course, people will know that you are that person that brings forth those kinds of fruit, right? And in closing, and I really do want you to do what you say you're going to do, be who you say you are, and let's just practice, seriously. When I think of an orange tree, out here in California, I'm very blessed to be able to just go to a tree and pick an orange. That tree never moved. That tree never said, here, Tanji, here's a fruit. But I knew that it was an orange tree, and I knew not to expect there to be grapefruit on that orange tree, if I'm making any sense. You know, when you have someone that comes into your life and that demonstrate, I have an unmovable faith, those are the kind of persons that I like to kind of hold on to and say, hey, come on, let's walk together. I've been very fortunate. I think it was October 2nd of last year to be introduced to a gentleman that have studied with the likes of the greats, people who some of your acting coaches have trained, Felicia Rashad,
Tupac Shakur, Jada Pinkett, Peter Luongo, and so many more.
And so many more. And to have this gentleman come on the show and co-host, and, you know, he's going to bring a different kind of perspective to us, and we're gonna do this thing
for sure.
His name is none other than
Niles Finkley,
and it is truly an honor to have you here, and I'm excited.
Same here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my god,
it is a great day.
It is a great day. It's an excellent day, man. Yes. What are you talking? It's an excellent day.
And I just love hearing you talk because you're just so passionate. I'm like, you invigorate me.
Oh all my right. God, so, don't make me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Absolutely. Interesting topic, huh? Behavior. Sure.
Yes.
Belief.
Yes.
And you're going to do exactly what you believe you're going to do, and it's going to show up in your behavior, right?
Believe, I've gotten to the point of God told me you need to know this.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's good.
For sure.
That's good.
For sure.
You need to know this. Yeah. Ah, you hear? See? Relationships and Valentine's Day is coming up and all of these great things, Niles. I mean, what's going on in when you think about relationships and the expression that you know Valentine's Day is a great day, but why not have Valentine's Day every day? I'm just saying.
That's true. It shouldn't just be one day.
I was at the doctor's office the other day, and I said to the young woman that was manipulating me, I said, "Hey, you know." For lack of a better word,
interesting
right?
Word.
I know, okay. Right? I said, so are you excited about Valentine's Day? And she says, no, I don't have to be excited. My husband does. I said, okay. She said, are you? I said, well, would you believe, honestly, that every Tuesday my husband and I date? Mm-hmm. And for me, every day is Valentine's Day. And she looks at me like, oh, yeah, you're peddling that stuff. But I made up my mind that I'm not going to wait until the calendar says that, you know, I have to express love on this particular day. I don't want to do that.
In this way or that way.
Yeah. So I just choose to live every day as if it was my last. I do.
For sure.
I plan for the future. I do.
Sure.
But I just want to live, man. Mm-hmm. I don't want to exist. I've been there before. Mm-hmm. And existing just does not work. Would you agree?
Oh, I totally agree.
You're doing it. You're here, sunny California, left six figures, doing your thing.
Corporate America.
Yeah,
yep.
In corporate America. Mm-hmm. And you said, okay, now what? you put your faith where it was needed most.
Yes. And it was, it's difficult. You know, when you're following a path and, you know, once again, developing your own blueprint and, you know, the path that you're taking, you haven't really seen too many else around you do or succeed in.
Right.
It is tough.
Right.
And it's something that you wrestle with on a daily basis. And even though you may know your purpose or God may show you your purpose, you're still going to deal with the doubt. Like, you're a human being. You know, and when you can't see something in front of you, per se.
Yeah.
But then you still have the vision, like it's inside of you. You can feel it in your soul, in your being.
Yeah.
And that's what speaks to you in those times of doubt. And when you're, you know, you're struggling, when it's truly in your soul and it's past belief, then you will continue on and you know that you will be caught by God. Whether you fall, because life comes with ups and downs, and I've experienced you know, a multitude of downs recently, but it's just
for
a part of the process. And adversity is a part of the plan when you're on the way to greatness or God's plan for your life.
Man.
Think about any, you know, figure in the Bible, especially when God stretched them and made them into something so much more than they started out as.
Yeah.
They face nothing but adversity.
Absolutely.
Job and so many other people. So it's just a part of the process. And that's what I tell myself, and that's what keeps me going. Because if you focus, you know, on things in the human realm, which is all about normalcy and impossibilities, you're going to be, it's going to be daunting. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough for you. It's hard to see to the other side.
Absolutely.
But when you have something inside of you that is of substance and it's connected to a higher power, a higher being, God, you know that you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Keep on.
It's past. Oh my God.
I mean, sure.
It's just, you know, amen. Past the collection plate.
amen.
You spoke that. I mean, you spoke volumes and volumes of people. It's just people that they know it's in them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, greatness is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fruit's there. You know, your gifting is there. And it's in those moments where, and you're right, we're human, but above that, we're spirit, because we're just like our daddy, you know what I mean? We're just like him.
Yes.
We're created in his image and after his likeness, meaning we have characteristics, meaning that we can speak a thing and we can command, and no, I'm not talking name it and claim it. I've done that in the 90s, running around, laying my hands on cars and houses. And I mean, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
If you seek the kingdom, all that stuff gonna be added to you.
That's
you know?
True.
But anyway, that's another soapbox there.
Mm-hmm.
It is. There are challenges, and I'm in the throes of a few challenges myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when I'm thinking, Dad, man, I know that there's an expected end.
Yes.
I know you trust me in this, but would you just help me get from this place to that place to this place? Would you just illuminate my path?
Mm-hmm.
And then he reminds me, that's what my word does.
Yes.
Oh!
That's true. It's food.
Oh my God.
It's food
who
to get you to
telling?
The next point and through life.
Absolutely.
While
Absolutely.
Keeping your soul, integrity, and dignity.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even when you have those meltdown moments. Right?
Yep.
Hey, but you don't have those, right?
Everybody has those. Like I said, this is life.
This is life.
This is life.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, isn't it good though?
For sure.
Isn't it good? I mean, think about that thing, Niles. I don't know if you've ever suffered, you know, being embarrassed when the repo man came and knocked at the door and said, you know, got to get them keys. And I'm like, oh.
It's a humbling experience. But we need to be humbled.
We need to be humbled.
You know?
Wow.
We need to be humbled. It adds to you so much as a person.
Yeah.
It stretches you so much. And we grow through vulnerability.
Amen.
We grow through our experiences, good or bad. It's never going to be one consistent, you know, mold.
Right.
You're gonna be thrown around. You're gonna be stretched. You're gonna be smacked around. But once you're done with the process, you get to look back and say, "Man,
come on,
with God, I can do anything.
Absolutely.
Regardless of what stands in front of me, whatever the obstacle may be.
Yeah."
I am more than capable of jumping over this hurdle.
I love it.
You know, so as to your mindset, as to your being, yeah. you put that in your toolbox.
Yeah.
You know,
have you noticed that what we go through really isn't as painful sometimes as it is, and not seeing the forest for the trees mm-hmm. and all of that, but it really isn't for us. It's that testimony,
testimony
for
yep.
that person that mm-hmm. they're sure to come up behind you. They're sure to yes. be in your presence. And I think we do ourselves, I think we do our God a really disservice, even in the person that mm-hmm. needs to hear that wisdom, mm-hmm. not the opinion, because we have those, but to be able to tell someone, you man, I trust it. Man, I mean, the lights were off, the kids needed to be fed, that the repo man was there, and mm-hmm. the husband was acting a nut, you mm-hmm. know, it's just, and then my faith waned, but I still trust it.
Yes.
And that's remarkable.
Yes.
To be able to give someone that testimony.
Yes.
It is, absolutely.
Yes. And that's how we reciprocate to God. Regardless of the circumstance, we are here, we are faithful.
I love it.
Because one, you gave us everything, which
Come
is life.
Man.
That's everything.
Absolutely.
If that's all that he ever did,
yeah.
that is more than enough.
That's more than enough.
Right? You know?
Yeah. I used to hear that. You know, you've done more than enough.
And exactly.
I'm thinking, that don't make any sense. What you talking? He's done more than enough, but it really does.
And it's simple, but it's complex at the same time. Think about how many breaths you're taking.
Think about
the science and everything that's behind you as a human being. Yeah. That is all God.
Yeah.
Simple but complex.
It's
simple to us because we can't comprehend on that level, regardless of science or whatever it may be, regardless of how educated we are.
Yeah. Education goes out the window, man.
Yeah.
Please believe that.
Yep.
Wow. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Now, let's circle back through with Valentine's. You got something special planned for Valentine's or your Valentine?
Love should be every day.
I love it.
And I'm gonna love every day.
Every day.
You know, in different ways.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm gonna surprise myself, surprise the world.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Commitment. Yes.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you're definitely committed to your craft and your being because, hey, man, you're here.
Yes.
You're here. You could have easily, you know, I don't know if you are like most folk or me,
mm-hmm.
you know, all right, if it doesn't happen in this amount of time, I'm just going to do something different. I tried to act like that, but it doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I'm going to give myself a deadline. And if that doesn't happen, then all right, I'm done. But it just didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself saying, but I trust you. But you're my daddy.
Yeah. Yep.
And those are the conversations I have with him, because not only is he my king and my God, but he called me friend, man. Mm-hmm. This man said that if you're led of my Holy Spirit, you're a son.
Yes.
I'm a son. You know what I mm-hmm. mean? So I've got rights. And I go before him oftentimes and say, hey, this is the petition.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to remind you of what you said.
Yes.
You know, and above your word, your name is what? Your word.
Everything.
So it's everything. So we have to be really careful, I believe, in this day and age, when we say something,
mm-hmm.
mean it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? When
yes.
we say it, mean it, and let your yes be yes and your no's no's.
Yes.
And it's just that simple. I used to tell my children growing up, if mama ever tells you, let me think about it, it just means it's no.
It's a no. That's a nice way to say no.
I just don't want to hurt your feelings right now.
Okay.
But have you ever, I guess, found yourself in a position where you're like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. I'm done with this.
Yes.
Yeah.
As I said, I've gone through a multitude of downs and ups as well recently, but it's sometimes where you're like, man, am I on the right path? I don't know if I can humanly do this, but because of, you know, some of the experiences that I've faced in the last, I would say, year and a half, 2 years, my faith at this point is beyond faith. So whenever an obstacle is presented to me now, I try not to even focus on it too much.
Okay.
I just talk to God. Okay. I put it up there, and I know that it's going to be taken care of in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
Maybe not in the way that I had, you know, mm-hmm. the idea that I had in my mind, but yep. I know that it will be taken care of. And I'm also learning to step back a bit and let God do his thing.
Man, come
because,
on.
Because a lot of times as human beings, we want control, and we don't have 100% control over everything. You know, there are those small things that are in our control, but essentially those huge things, those miracles, that's all up to God.
Absolutely.
You know, so I've learned to take a step back a bit, and now I'm at the point now where I pray first. And I've gotten to the point where, like, I literally talk to God like he's right next to me.
Oh, absolutely.
With my eyes open.
Oh, absolutely.
People make it seem like you have to have your eyes closed and so on. I talk to God like he's my homie, my best friend, because that's the kind of relationship that you should have with God.
Right.
You know, so since I've gotten to that point, which is, I would say, which has been in the last year and a half, not too much flusters me. I know that it's going to be taken care of. Because I'm telling you, L.A. by itself, it will crush.
Who you telling,
it will
man?
Crush you.
Come
this is
on.
A big city, you know? So you, in order to keep your soul, your dignity, your morals, and integrity, you have to have a that source.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's so easy to get lost.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. You know? And so many people do.
Exactly.
I mean, when I'm walking, sometimes I'll act like a tourist and I'll go to Hollywood and just kind of walk the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And I'm looking at the people and not being in a position or a disposition of judgment, but I'm looking at folk like, man, how were you before you got here? You know, what made you smile?
Yes.
And what made you wake up in the morning and just be ready for life? What happened? And I'll ask folk that sometimes. And the stories that I hear, Niles, is just, is they're heartfelt stories, they're mind-boggling.
Yes.
And I'll find myself asking, do you mind if I pray with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going out, you know, passing out tracts or anything, and I'm not knocking folk that do, but I want to be a demonstration by my life, man.
Exactly.
You see? And you're right. It's not easy.
It's not.
No.
And it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just a part of the process, and you have to trust, you know, of course you have to trust yourself, but more than anything, you have to realize who the creator is and
Absolutely.
Who holds all the power.
Come on, man.
And when you're on his side, he will prepare that. Well, he has already prepared that table for you.
Absolutely.
And I know we were having this conversation the other day about, what was it? It was in regards to faith with the works. So I know that if I do my part and everything in my power, God is going to show out the rest of the way.
Absolutely.
There's only
but
so many things that you can do, but everything that you can do, do it.
Do it.
And then from there, everything is taken care of.
I'm going to tell myself here, once upon a time, I would pray, or what I thought was praying. I was actually begging. I would beg and do nothing. Okay. I just say, for instance, I wanted a car and I'm begging God, you know, please. But sister, pay your bills. You know, I understand that you've got faith of a mustard seed. I get it, but you that even in that, you gotta, you know, be accountable to whatever it is that you're making. If you're making $100, be accountable to that $100.
Yes.
So don't just ask and you're not doing your part, and you said it best. And you got to do.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. A little common sense here, almost.
Living on purpose and living with intent.
Ah, that's good.
You know?
That's good. You know that'll make a good principle, right? Because
yes,
it
ma'am.
Is a principle. It
yes,
is a
that's
principle.
True. That
living
is true.
On purpose and living with intent.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
And have you noticed that people that may not be as expressive in their faith, and we're not knocking those folk, but have you noticed that the world, and I mean the world system, the people that adhere to systems and don't necessarily want to adhere to principles, okay, or discipline, they'll take everything that we read, everything we've studied, and they'll package it in a way that they'll call it motivational speaking or whatever. And I'm not being nasty here, but they'll benefit so much by doing, you know, and we oftentimes will look at that and say, dang, man, why is it that they're getting ahead?
Yes.
They're becoming the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone asked, I was listening to an interview, and Michael Jackson was talking, and God rest his soul, rest in peace.
Yes.
He was talking about the music, and he said, I don't do music, I am.
Music.
Yeah.
Yes.
And isn't that something that we could say too? Let's say if you're acting, you're not in acting, you are.
That's if you do it with conviction.
Ah, man.
That level of conviction has to be there, because a lot of us are doing things to be seen, for attention, to, you know, help, you know, with our insecurities.
Okay.
When you truly do it and you have conviction,
mm-hmm.
yes, you can mm-hmm. be that mm-hmm. vessel.
Absolutely.
Once you study or get on that level to the point where this is a passion, this
yeah.
is past a passion,
yeah.
I love this,
yeah.
you are.
That's it, absolutely.
But if it's less than love, if you like,
yeah.
you aren't.
Ah.
If you understand what I'm saying.
I understand, man.
Yeah. yeah.
I was watching, so I was in the AT&T store the other day. I had gone and had to get a couple of devices, and I'm talking with the gentleman, and he said, well, would you tell me what Existence Now is? It's a business I've been running now since, oh, geez, I think 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, it's a little organization that we kind of manage. At that time, we were managing up-and-coming rappers and people who felt like they had, you know, something to kind of bring to the marketplace. So he says, oh, a rapper. I said, well, now it's more emceeing.
Yes.
And he said, what's the difference? And I said, let me tell you. I said, think of it as an MC is a person who tells a story.
Yes.
With music.
Yes.
Rappers, and again, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, because I love rappers. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy some rappers. I do. But rappers are oftentimes those persons that are in it for the entertainment.
Exactly.
So there's a big difference, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you said it. It was paramount what you said. People are, sometimes they'll do things for attention.
Yes.
And that's unfortunate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially when you have the power to speak and talk to others
Come
across
on,
the
man.
World. We have to be responsible with our power.
Thank
and
you.
You're not always going to get it right.
Thank you.
But
Thank
if your heart is there, and like I said, the intent and the conviction
intent.
Is there,
Absolutely.
People will be able to see through
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And the word will touch their soul and get to them.
Man, come on.
Yes. yes. Yes, yes.
You're giving me these goosebumps moments here.
Yeah. Speaking of that, this is just a... about emceeing and, you know, being a rapper and what
okay.
I say about conviction.
Okay.
I was listening to an interview, and I love Tupac.
Oh, come on.
Because he was just such
right?
a deep brother and beyond
yeah,
his time.
On.
You know,
Absolutely.
And he passed away at
Absolutely.
25.
I know.
You know, and he said, when I speak, I want you to feel it in your being. I want my words to make you shiver.
Hmm.
That's conviction.
Powerful. Absolutely.
That's conviction.
And to know that you have that power.
Yes.
You have the authority,
yes.
okay, to operate in that kind of power.
Yes.
So we really have to be careful what we say. It's not always what a man puts in his mouth.
Exactly.
It's what comes out.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. So
yes.
we carry a lot of glory.
Yes, we do.
And we've got to be really careful with that.
Yes.
Not to step on anybody's toes or hurt their feelings or make them feel less than.
As they say, with power comes great responsibility.
You better believe it. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, on social media, how can people find Niles?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Niles, and that's N as in Nancy, YLES.Finkley. F as in Friday, N as in Nancy, KLEE, Niles.Finkley at Instagram. Come and join my world.
I love it, absolutely.
Yes.
And if you want to be a part of the show, please feel free. Dr. Tanji Show is on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter
yes.
with the same moniker at Dr. Tanji Show.
Yes.
DrTanjiShow.com.
Yes.
And follow us on Mondays for Talk to Tanji. That's that one-on-one where we get to kind of talk and relate. And I want you to be active and ask questions and DM and, hey, that's what we're here for. I don't know all the answers, mm-hmm. but I know someone who does.
Exactly.
And, you know, sometimes experience is a good teacher, but there are other times where it, that word coupled with experience makes it come alive for
yes.
you. Absolutely.
Yes.
Coming up on the show on Monday, we'll deal with another principle, and I think we're going to deal with the principle of love. I think that's a good one because we say, I love you, I love you, I love you, but mm-hmm. love is an action word.
Uh-huh. What's
love
at the core of that?
Love is responsibility. Come yep. on, man, come on. I don't love you because you can do something for me. Mm-hmm. I love you because it's the right thing to do
yes.
and because I'm love.
And simply because you are.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
You know, we've got a guest that's coming up who has taken a responsibility upon himself that is mind-boggling, to say the least. He is a man who will revolutionize what we see as, it's not my problem, not in my backyard. He's a man who knows that when you can, you do. He is just an absolute beautiful spirit, man. He's one of my dear friends, and our friendship has been tested, and I like that because we won the test. We passed the test, and I think that you will be blessed by who he is, what he stands for. And he is fast becoming a legend in this field, in this sphere. You know, homelessness is a big issue. And in Los Angeles, right outside of New York, I think New York has gotten theirs under control now. Homelessness is one of those things where if you're not careful, you will think that, oh, that can't happen to me. And when this gentleman gives you the stats and gives you the reason why he's doing what he's doing, you're going to see things a lot different. His name is Rodney Brown. He's the CEO and founder of New Life Global Development. And again, he's a breath of fresh air. He's doing it in the marketplace. And I'm going to ask that proverbial question, Mr. Rodney Brown. First, welcome to the show. Thank How you. Did you get here and why such a, that's a big ministry, if you know, for lack of a better word, man. You know that, right? Tell us how you got here and why homelessness?
Well, it's because I experienced it early on in my life. I witnessed and watched my family experience homelessness, poverty, born and raised on the west side of Chicago.
Hmm.
In the 50s and 60s, our families were flourishing, but there was a lot of struggle
right.
Going on. And most of the struggle was inside the home, you know. Wasn't so much out into the streets in our culture,
okay.
but it was inside the home. You know, God has blessed me to come through a tumultuous and violent and bloody childhood. Mm. And at the time, you know, you always wonder why, you know, why is this happening? And when you feel so helpless, you don't know what to do, especially as a child.
Right.
My grandmother ran one of the largest brothels on the west side of Chicago as a means to survive when she had to flee Alabama in the 40s. Mm. She used to make lager.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was her way because she couldn't open a steel. There was right. like Klansmen in the
right.
area and
right.
certain things she couldn't do, but she could make the best lager. So the judge was her customers, the sheriff, and people
wow.
like that. But there was a couple of incidents where she protected her family and her daughters, and they told her that she had to leave the Alabama. Okay. So she was escorted out of the state, given written order that she could never return.
Oh, wow.
And she didn't stop until she got to Chicago. Well, she tried to make homebrew in Chicago, but there was liquor stores on every corner, so that wouldn't work. And a couple people approached her and said, hey, you know, you have a big apartment. We could pay you to use your rooms. And her and the Giancanas or some other organized crime people got together. And because if you're African-American and you had to be plugged into that organized business in order to really be successful or be protected, right?
Right.
So her and my family started that business during time from 5 years old to 17. I helped my grandmother run that business.
Oh, come on, Rodney. I didn't
and
know that.
I was sort of like that JoJo dancer life.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, Richard Carter, right? Yeah.
I'm collecting the money from the people that's coming in and that sort of thing and helping grandma out at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, but... you know, it didn't benefit us financially. Okay. We weren't able to grow financially because all the money she made had to go to some other people that came to our house.
Gotcha.
So, you know, my grandmother was, she was a very strong lady. And we called, in our family, we called our grandma Madea as well.
Madea.
She was.
Oh, Madea.
Yeah, I know, right?
Miss Mary, had committed a couple murders by the time I was 7. She committed one while holding my hand. I witnessed a lot of blood and violence inside the house. You know, gunfire and shootings inside the house. My family was also involved in what turned out to be Gangster Disciple. You know, came from another gang that was called Mad Black Souls on the west side of Chicago, which came out of the Black Panther Party, who raised me.
Okay.
You know, I was raised by the Black Panther Party when we were struggling. They brought us food. And on those, that's what I remember, my experience about Black Panther Party. Bobby Rush and all those guys that are still in Chicago now are community leaders. And also, there was a young guy that came up in our property in my grandmother's house that was chosen to be a young pimp, and two pimps, one called God, Cadillac Lilac, got together with this young man and asked him to choose his style and what he was going to be as a pimp. And they were drinking champagne, green bottle with a gold label. And he came up with these colors, green and gold. And they said that, well, what we're going to do is we're going to name you, since you got the sprinkle, we're going to name you Magic Wand.
No way. So, no way.
As they're sitting in my grandmother's.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Wow. So, and his girls used my grandmother's brothel when he was coming up on the west side of Chicago, Madison Street, K-Town.
Wow.
That sort of thing. So, this has turned into... a movie that they want to produce called Born in Blood, Saved by Grace.
Wow.
I had a praying grandmother
in
Jackson, Michigan, my father's mom, Miss Rosie, who was a splitting image of Ain't Your Mama Always. Said, Grandma, they put you on the
syrup and pancake box.
And she was a member of a Baptist church, and her and a lot of other ladies in these white cloths took me and start throwing oil and and something happened that I didn't even realize that in my life at 7 years old when it was Father putting a bulwark around me. And at the time I had no idea, but I was protected. So, you know, as I was going through those violent and bloody times, nothing ever touched me. So never touched none of the women or the pedophiles that came through there and the cutthroat people, nothing ever, no one ever touched me. I never put, as they also had a shooting gallery, they called, where a lot of jazz artists and people would come and they would shoot heroin. And I had to go and make sure I check on people that they didn't pass away or OD and that sort of thing. And none of that ever touched my life. And I wonder why I was so different from my family members. And as much as I love my grandma, she would, you know, rock me with, you know, pistols in her hand, in her lap, and rock me to sleep. And that was just normal for us.
Wow.
There was a lot of alcoholism, a lot of depression. And my mom took most of the brunt of that, you know. And me being an only child, I have no brothers or sisters, always trying to protect. I was always overprotective of my mom. But, you know, she ended up, she got shot in the face. My grandmother cracked her own head, her mom, because she wanted to get away from that business.
Yeah.
And she couldn't get out. Grandma said no. Grandma hit in the head with a Louisville Slugger. My mom survived to this day. You know, getting shot in the face, bullet still in her neck. My mom's the strongest woman I know.
Yeah.
Right now, today. We retired and she moved down to Mississippi, down to Meridian, with her sister.
Wow.
And I've been out here in Los Angeles since 1995. And once I got out here and started experiencing what was going on with this homeless crisis, it was back in 2009 when it really started, when they dissolved the CRA, the Community Redevelopment Agencies, and they stopped building affordable housing.
Okay.
As I was learning then the work of asset and real estate asset management, I started understanding how the imbalance of development, of affordable housing development was falling off. And then after the crash and everybody was selling off their properties and everybody was in foreclosure, a lot more people that were stable, you know, were just a couple of months or a couple of checks or a couple of missed mortgages away from being homeless.
But
God had given me something else that I was trying to understand. What is it he was wanting me to look at? And it was the fact that it would bother me every time I would see a homeless person and then look across the street and see a vacant and abandoned building. With a not open to the public sign on it. And it just bothered me. And, you know, as the more and more I studied with our late mentor, Dr. Miles Monroe, he says that anytime something bothers you, you have to listen to Holy Spirit. And God is giving you something. It's something that you can see that most people can't see. But it's affecting you in a way because of with your life. And, you know, I had experience homelessness as a child. My family being alcoholics. There were times that I was at, I was put out because they were just drunk. You know, and not realizing you telling a 7-year-old child to go outside in the cold. But I survived it. God always allowed me to find a warm hallway or some stairs to sleep under. And would warm me. I would sometimes get so cold that I would just cry myself to sleep, and Father would just warm me.
You had a hand on you.
Absolutely.
And keep me safe. So I understand what it's like being in his pinions and wrapped. Wrapped in those wings. And I've lived my life in this bulwark, but it's giving me this passion to understand real estate and look at it as a way to be able to help our people stabilize their lives so we can get back on track. So over the last 9 years, I've been working with nonprofit organizations and trying to get to understand how they function, how they behave, what type of compliance it takes for them to be able to spend the monies and the subsidies they have to house the people that we work with. Since then, I've been able to work with a large developer, Haroni Investments. And together we've probably built, we built about 350 units to this day. We have 7 buildings under construction now. The first one, 837 units at 83rd and Figueroa. And we chose African-American Vietnam vets to be the first to move into that building. Then 3515 Hyde Park, which is right at Hyde Park Boulevard and West Ave, near the Crenshaw-Slauson area of Los Angeles. That's five stories, 51 units.
Wow.
And then we're building 75 units right around the corner from that at 61st and Crenshaw, across from the West Angeles apartments.
Right.
So we have four additional buildings slated for construction over the next 24 months for affordable housing. Wow. 70%
for sure,
market,
for sure.
30% affordable housing. Sure. However, now that's, with that being permanent supportive housing, we need to look back and try to find a way to create rapid rehousing, crisis housing, okay, transitional housing.
Absolutely.
You know, people need to go through certain processes,
right,
and programs in order to find out what their needs are. Some of their needs are emotional, some are spiritual, you know, some are mental,
right,
some are physical, which is another reason why we're also connecting housing to healthcare. We're finding that when we house, as we're housing certain people and getting them Section 8 or VASH vouchers if they're veteran housing, they still aren't that resilient and sustainable, able to keep that housing. So we're like finding out that part of the problem is healthcare. Access to healthcare.
Absolutely.
Prayed and meditated on that.
Yeah.
Father showed me and gave me the direction. Don't try to be everything to everybody, but find the resource that you can put together to empower those that have that skill and that passion to be able to provide that healthcare. And as I prayed and meditated on that, that was the reason why God brought you into my life.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea what recuperative care was. I had no idea what God had asked me to do. All I said is, I'll go. And although I couldn't see the next step in front of me, I just kept making those next steps, being blinded and moving in that faith.
Let me say something here. There are just a plethora of questions that we have for you, because you are truly doing it in the marketplace. At the time that I reached out to you, I was going through my own challenges of being homeless. And I wanted help. I don't want to go and help Daddy. I need you for myself. And I remember one day sitting, and I'm going to church. I'm praying and I'm screaming, hallelujah. And then I have to go home, where there's a 3-day evict note on my door. And I remember saying, but you promised. And all I remember him saying is, trust me. Trust me. And one of the hardest things in life too, when you're going through something so, for me, embarrassing, trust. But you're the same God that when I had cancer, you healed me of cancer. You're the same God that when my baby was diagnosed with a congenital heart disease, you were there. And you're the same God that when we were almost homeless, when I was about to go through my first divorce, you were there. Why now? And I must say to you that packing up everything in a U-Haul and telling your family that God's got us is one of, Niles said, humbling. It supersedes being humble. It shows you in his word that you must walk by faith. And not only in the walking, but it's faith. Not only in the faith, but it's walking. Mm-hmm. It's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So when I called you and asked you, you know, I'm doing recuperative care, and you know the meaning of it now. You know that it is truly, it is for those who have been maybe disenfranchised, DC'd from a hospital and can't go into a shelter. But to be able to hold the hand of someone who may not be smelling their best today, to be able to look a person in the eye and not look away and give him something to eat. And better yet, why don't you come and sit with me? I know now, I think Paul said it best, I know how to be abound and I know how to be abased, and everything I am content in everything. The work that you're doing, my friend, it is a ministry in and of itself. It is a call. You have been chosen. You're doing it. And I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for not taking it lightly. I do know now that this is where I'm supposed to be, in that realm. And I have made up my mind. I have decided that if I can have a home, then so can her and so can she and he. And I may not be in the position to financially yet buy it, but I can hitch my star to your wagon and tell you that I am here. I am ready to serve with my sleeves rolled up, and whatever that looks like in that capacity, I'm your girl.
Ready to work.
You better believe it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We couldn't do all that we wanted to do with this man, but please follow him. Rodney, tell the people, tell the listeners, the viewers, how can they follow you? How on social media? How can they get in contact with you should they want to either make a donation? Because he does have a nonprofit attached to this. So how can they follow you? How?
Well, the company is New Life Global Development. We have a website, newlifeglobaldevelopment.net. My phone number is 310-351-4631. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn as Mr. Trustee. Our homeless project is Project New Life. And we're looking for those who are wanting to save their property from foreclosure, maybe cash flow their properties by leasing it to homeless. We are contractors. We can build ADUs. We can rehab properties and help those that have real estate portfolios to maximize best and highest use. So give us a call if you have someone that is homeless. We do have resources that we can refer. Also to let the veterans know that at our project at 231 West Vernon at Vernboro Medical Center, we can now evaluate the veterans for their pension and compensation benefits there as well. And Dr. Tanji will soon be assisting with everything from primary care to recuperative care at that same location. Thank you so much.
Wow. You guys are busy. and blessings to so many others.
Thank you so very much. Guys, this is our show. Dadgummit, don't you just wish we had more time? Thank you so very much for stopping by. I know you're a busy, busy man. Niles, thank you for coming and co-hosting. We're going to do great things together.
Yes.
And thank you. Thank you for believing. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love, your text messaging, your DMs. I love you so very much. It is an honor to be before you, and it is an honor. It is a God-given honor to serve. Until next time.
Amen.
Bye.
Goodbye.
You're listening to The Dr. Tunji Show with Dr. Tunji Scott, only on LA Talk Radio.